Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What I like about atheism is it's a non-profit organization. Anyone? They can't all be good. They can't all be good jokes.
Oh, no.
Join us next week on the Paddock. Bye for now.
I think we might have to get rid of this feature.
We might have to. I'm running out of good jokes. I'm already running out of good jokes. I need to hear other people's jokes to carry on.
What?
I know.
I mean, Nate, I'm just going to put you out of your misery.
Yeah. Hit me. Go on. It's a one.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Oh. That could be a new low for the Paddock. I mean, not for the Paddock, for me, professionally and personally. That's pretty grim.
That, potentially, was the worst joke you've told on the podcast.
I think you're right. As I said it, I knew it wasn't going to go down well. I could see Medlin's face.
I mean, yeah, I've already got distracted by emails, so that's how much you captured my attention.
Wow. We better get on with it before we lose Medlin for good.
Terrible. Shocker.
Welcome to The Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Barreto, and I'm joined by Chris Medlin and Nate Saunders. Slightly different intro this week, I'm sure you'll all notice. We thought we'd just crack straight into it.
Yeah.
Jazzed it up, didn't we? That was crazy. This is
so natural, Lawrence.
This is not a highest energy start. Yeah, it's not. We're not off to a flyer, are we? We're a little bit...
We'll work on it.
We're a little bit Aston Martin on the first day of testing.
Yeah. We'll work on it, Lawrence. We'll get your energy levels up next time. Apologies for people listening as well. My microphone absolutely had a hissy fit as we were recording this, so I'm going off microphone headphones. So if you can't hear me, A, it's probably a good thing. B, I'm sorry.
The apology comes second, right?
So this is actually one of the few times we're actually in the same place, aren't we? But we're not recording together because we've all... And the original idea for that was because we all had better setups of microphones in our hotel room. So I've completely ruined that. I apologize. And I just got a 1 out of 10. So I'm going to...
I mean...
Open the floor.
That's okay.
To whoever wants to salvage the pod from this point. Lawrence, I hear you've been doing some very cool stuff today.
I have. I've been playing squash. You friends of the podcast will know that I play a lot of squash and I talk about squash a lot on this podcast. But this time, once again, I was playing against Carlos Sainz, his father, Carlos Sainz Sr., who is, I don't know if we mentioned this podcast, a two-time former national squash champion. And still has got it, frankly. Still plays at a very high level. And Rupert, Carlos's trainer as well. So we're just having a hit this morning. I have to say, I wasn't playing my best, guys. It wasn't my strongest performance. But
why?
I don't know. It's maybe because we'll go on to Nate's favourite topic shortly. We played golf, Meadows and I yesterday with Lawrence Edmondson and our friend James Boy. And so I think that kind of took it out of me. You know, playing sport 2 days in a row.
Not only are you going to use golf as a talking point, as an excuse for playing badly in another sport, that could be the worst thing you've ever done. How does golf affect your squash game, can I ask? Because they're very different.
Just in that my back was a little bit tense, today.
Okay.
So I didn't have the movement. I didn't glide across the court like I normally do, like a swan.
gazelle.
And he was like a swan. And he was slightly dehydrated, I think, after a day in the sunshine on the golf course. I think it's just the sunshine that dehydrates you, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that would dehydrate you. But didn't... I'm pretty sure Science would have played golf as well. At least Junior did. So he would have also been feeling it.
And Senior did.
Did he? Okay, so Lawrence, your excuse
That's
has
true.
Fallen completely That's flat because you were playing two slightly dehydrated and debilitated Spaniards. Granted, they are both former. One is a former world champion and the other is a current racing driver, so fitness level is probably higher, certainly for Junior. But
I mean, yeah, they are at least elite athletes, Nate.
Do you, when you're playing Science, is there any work chat? Is that banned, or are you just kind of bantering with them as you go? Like, you're not like hitting the ball and being like, how about Aston Martin, like as you're hitting the ball, and he's like, I think it's pretty good, and you're like going shot to shot, no? It's like I'm there.
No.
It's
like, no. Not quite. Essentially, once you're on the court, it's game face on and it becomes very serious. There's no chat at all during the game. No chat at all. Like, obviously, congratulations on points or like, you know, tell them they've done a good shot or whatever, but no actual chat, no work chat, because this is
wow.
a proper competition. We're taking it very seriously.
Okay, well, that's intense.
And then there's chat when we're out of the court.
You're allowed to talk then.
Yeah, that's
they allow you to speak.
Is allowed.
Do you have to be holding the squash ball to be able to speak? Is it like a no. symbolic thing? Is that when they give you permission? Or do you just have to listen to them and just kind of pretend you can speak about what they're speaking about as if you know when really you don't, because they're talking about, I don't know, the Dakar?
I mean, you can talk about subjects that you don't know about, Meadows. Otherwise, I think we'd all be pretty buggered
speak
if we didn't talk about subjects we didn't know anything about.
Yeah,
speak for yourself. I can't speak about anything I don't know about.
So that was how I spent my morning. Meadows, have you been spending the last couple of days?
Dying.
I'm glad you said last couple of days, because my morning has just been spent like working and coughing slightly, which has been lovely, hence the raspy voice. But yesterday I played golf with you, mate, which you know. So yeah. There was that. Actually, on Sunday I worked all morning, and then I kind of helped organise a team in a football tournament. So I played a little bit, but because I hadn't been feeling 100%, I thought I'd be sensible, and I was just more the organiser of a media team. And we had an epic 4-0 victory against the Haas second team. It was like a six-a-side tournament that had been organised. And there were some very good teams there. So we had an epic victory in our first one. And then we lost to Pirelli in our second game and lost a very close game to Alpine, who were actually basically also a media team because they needed players and took ours. We lost 2-1 to them, so then got knocked out. So that was wild.
But isn't it true that the Alpine team has an ex-pro goalkeeper?
I don't know if he's an ex-pro, but he was very, very good. A guy called Carroll, who was, yeah, excellent, made a brilliant save in a penalty shootout. And he was very hard to beat in our game. So we lost 2-1. And I'd say he was the difference, really. But yeah, that was good fun. That was quite cool to see. Fair play to half the teams there, because most of them were made up of like mechanics who had even gone to the track because it was Sunday. So they were still stripping the cars down after testing and doing work on them. And then came straight from the track to this football tournament. So the Haas guys we played first up, they were late arriving and they were shattered. So I actually felt pretty bad for them because they had no subs either. And it's obviously quite warm here in Bahrain. So they had a bit of a workout. But no, it was good fun. And I believe Formula One management actually won. So Mr. Bretta, your team won. So it was fixed.
The fix is in. The fix is in. That sounds ridiculous to me. You said the goalkeeper was called Carol. So that's the name of my mother's best friend.
Yeah, not Roy.
My mother's best friend's called Carol. I don't think it was her playing.
No, it wasn't. No.
Okay, I'd have to check. You never know, these days.
And Nate, while Meadows has been working hard throughout today, and I've been out, played squash, what have you been doing?
I've had the morning off. I've got a few meetings later, ESPN meetings. So I thought I'd take the morning off. I went up to the Tree of Life, or down to the Tree of Life, I should say. For any geographical fans, fans of north, south, and east and west. South
direction.
South from where I am to the Tree of Life, which is an old tree in Bahrain, over 400 years old, I think. And it's kind of cool. Like, it's in the middle of the desert, and they're not quite sure how it gets its water. So it's just like sat there, and it's surrounded by oil fields as you drive in. Apparently, the biggest tourist destination in Bahrain. Pretty cool. Like, you know, pretty tranquil. And there were some camels walking around outside. I say it was all outside, but outside of the circle where this tree is. So we went to them and stroked a camel, which was pretty nice. And then came home.
Okay. You allowed to do that?
Well, we went up to it, and it walked up to us and was like, you know, you're right, how you doing? You know, I was surprised how good his English was. no, and he kind of walked towards Claire, who was one of the people with us, and the guy that was kind of with the camels was like, no, it's fine, because obviously if a big camel's walking towards you, you think, should I run? And then it just wanted to be scratched on the head. So I'm not sure. I think the guy with them, you know, just like was their minder or whatever. It was like a few young ones, some older ones. Pretty cool. Low-key, very cool animal, I'd say, the camel. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like a camel.
And I did say at one point, nod if you think the Aston Martin's quick, and it nodded. So, you know, if that's not a sign of how the season's going to go, then I don't know what is, lads. Because the camel said...
I mean, that is like Paul the Octopus levels of prediction.
Tree of Life camel says Alonso to win. And there was a little Ford badge in the sand. Someone had obviously dropped this little Ford badge. So it looked like an apocalyptic, like, old movie where, like, somebody, like, moves the sand away and they're like, Ford, what is Ford? You know, like in 3,000 years when the earth is all like blown to smithereens. And I was like, is that a metaphor for Ford's future involvement in Formula One? Time will tell from the Tree of Life. I might do all my predictions now. I might just find things and link them in a very tenuous way to the upcoming season. But yeah, so.
Well, speaking of tenuous, you made some tenuous points there. So this is a tenuous link to some tenuous jokes that I believe you made this week.
God. Yes, and this will be actual Formula One chat for people that are still with us after my camel. my camel chat. So on Saturday, I had an interview with Logan Sargeant, obviously Logie Sarge, as he's known to me. We just had an interview, you know, writing a piece for later in the week, you know, for our US audience. Meet Logan Sargeant, America's rookie. And I've spoken to him a few times, you know, and I'd like to see a bit more personality from any of the younger drivers. You know, sometimes they're a little bit cagey, which I totally get, you know, he's not racing F1. But I got down there and he had his hat on backwards, like a lot of Americans do. And I was cool. Like, oh, mega. And I can make one of my favorite jokes to him. So I sat down and I was like, Logan, where'd you find those hats? And there's a little pause. And I was like, because whenever I find baseball caps, I can only find them with the bill facing forward. And he just kind of looked at me like what? Because obviously, you know, and I was like, because obviously the joke being there that that's the same cap, you just turn it around. And he wasn't having any of it. I think he either didn't understand or he found it so unfunny that he decided just to stare at me like a statue for...
Like the start of this pod this week.
Basically, yeah, I've had that reaction a lot in Bahrain. Maybe I think it's a Bahrain thing, actually. But
only the camels understand you.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have told that joke to the camel. Even though he wasn't wearing a baseball cap, he still would have got it. But so on your point of giving me a 1 out of 10, I think Logan Sargeant gave me a -1 out of 10 for that one. I think not just in terms of joke, I think in terms of his rating of his best and worst journalist in the paddock, I think I've plummeted down the order, which is good. So yeah.
Don't worry.
So the moral of the story, don't make jokes to F1 drivers unless they're genuinely quite funny. And even then, probably don't.
No, I don't agree with that. Definitely make jokes to F1 drivers. Just make them better jokes, Nate. Come on.
I thought the fact you guys both didn't laugh at that joke. I mean, come on. What has this pod turned into? I thought you guys were funny guys.
What has happened to you?
What do you mean what's happened to me? The world has got less funny. That's what's happened. I'm the same level as I used to be, I think.
I just wish I'd been there to see your attempts to make Logan laugh. Like that might become, I think, a theme of this pod. That it might be, yeah. Can Nate make Logan laugh? Because I just want to see the carnage that ensues when you're trying to make these jokes. We actually saw Logan yesterday. He was at the golf in the morning. came down to support his trainer, then decided, you know what, golf is a game that takes a long time and it's very hot and it's boring if you're not playing, so he left.
Yeah.
I mean, that really, honestly, Medellin's stories are normally longer than that, but that really was what happened.
That's what I mean. That was snappy as hell. I saw Logan.
Welcome.
Williams is staying in the same hotel as us, and we were a few beers deep on Sunday, and Williams were doing their barbecue, and Logan walked out, like, looked over at us. Neither of you two were there, actually. Medellin, you'd have been playing in the football tournament. We were watching the League Cup final, which was Man United Newcastle, but there was a band playing in the hotel pub, playing very bad music. And Logan walked past and was kind of a bit confused, then saw us and saw me, and I kind of waved at him. I was like, hey, and he was like, oh, hey. And then I looked at the band, looked back at us, and was like, and I just put my thumbs up, like, yeah, weird setup, but, you know, where else am I going to watch the football? The soccer, as he would have said. So, lots of very Logan themed pod, this. For me, anyway.
Well, so as we're talking about rookies, and as we've been talking briefly about Aston Martin, very, very briefly, now might be a time as we wrap up this pod, which is, I think, has been one of the finest we've ever done.
I think it's about a 1 out of 10 so far, but you know, only wears up from here.
What are your bold predictions for the year?
Alonso wins a race.
Our podcast will get better.
That's not bold. Yes, that's will. Very easy. There's very easy gains for us to make on this show.
Alonso wins a race.
I think he wins a race, yeah. Ooh. I think because, look, if the Aston Martin is going to be third or fourth best, it's in the hunt, isn't it? It's in that window where if something goes wrong up front. And now Alonso's just brilliant, isn't he? He's just mega. And I want that to happen. So that's my bold prediction.
I was going to say, Fernando is going to get 8 podiums, but that doesn't sound as 8. Bold now. Now that you said one win, doesn't sound as bold. But
no, that's way more bold than one win. Because one win, he could just, you know, there could be some luck. 8 podiums, that's like 8.
That's consistency, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say one win and maybe not even a podium. Maybe he gets one podium and a win, you know, like through the year. I think they'll be quick enough to be like fourth, fifth, sixth every race. But to say, yeah, 8 podiums is way more bold than me.
So I think in this early phase, they might even emerge as the second best team.
I saw your rankings last. You and Will Buxton both said that, didn't you? Very bold. And you put McLaren last.
Yeah, which in hindsight was too harsh. I suppose
which in hindsight was too kind. Their car's so bad, they didn't deserve to be on the list. I thought that's what you were going to say. No, I think I like those calls. I'd love it if that is true and Aston starts the year off second best. That would be mega.
I'm going to go with Alex Albon gets a top 6 in a Williams.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's
good. I can't really stretch to the podium, but yeah.
Achievable.
Can I make a backup bold prediction? As we both went for an Alonso themed one, I want to keep the Alonso one. I think Hülkenberg gets Haas's first podium this year.
Ooh.
There'll be a shot and he'll do
it. He's in a really good mood, isn't he? I think he's feeling it.
Yeah,
I think
the vibe of that team is pretty good. I'm not saying they're going to have like a super super quick car, but I think they're going to have a car and they're quite. Something incredibly dramatic happens every year with Haas, and they've managed to avoid it so far. Do you know what I mean? Like last year, they had all the Mazepin stuff, then they had Magnussen getting pole. Every season, there's something crazy that happens with that team. So I think it's going to be that they'll just have some opportunity where everything falls together, and then one of the drivers is in that position. And I like Magnussen, but it would be great if Hülkenberg could actually get that podium. So
double bold.
Well, I would love it if all of these predictions come true. And then that, if anything, would mean that this podcast has taken its next step to the next level.
Okay, well, no pressure.
It got better.
Yeah, it got a lot better. Well, this is a mini episode today. So, you know, people shouldn't judge us based on this. We're rushing through. We want to serve the fans. Who are you? The three of you still listening. We're serving you right now. So, but Laz has got to run, haven't you, mate? So... Let us dash.
I have, yes. But it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks to everyone who's listening. And please remember to follow us on our social channels. You can read our work all over the internet. See you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Social Podcast Network.